Thank you, Lord, for your plan of salvation, for sending your Son, Jesus, who lived proclaiming the kingdom, your kingdom, Lord, who received stripes and beatings, was reviled of men, yet innocent, completely innocent of any wrongdoing, taking on him our sins, our iniquities, relieving us from the death sentence that was over us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the obedience of your Son, the sinless, spotless Son of God, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that you've made it so that we now can come boldly into your presence, into your throne of grace, that we can come and climb up in your lap, Father God, Abba, Father, Daddy God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise today. We honor you on this day, Lord, for redeeming your man, for tearing the veil in two as Jesus died and went into the grave, but didn't stay there. He took the keys. You took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You triumphed over the devil. You made an open show of him. And you gave us power and authority over all those things. And you restored us to dominion in this earth. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for your obedience. We give you praise. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy, Lamb of God. You're worthy, Lamb of God. Praise your name. Now, Lord, let the words that come forth now be your words. Let man, let me be hidden, Lord. Let Jesus be revealed. To him be all the honor and glory and praise and worship forever. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise you, Lord. Last week I had the opportunity to talk to Pastor Stan Setliff, who was the founder of this church. Actually, God was the founder. He was the one God called and chose to start New Life Church of Denver out of a church that looked like it was going to close. And I am absolutely enthralled and captivated by the comments that he made about the presence of God. I'm telling you, he's going to send the tapes, or we're going to have some video conferencing on Wednesday nights. I encourage you, come, because if he gets into this, you're going to get some insight that's going to blow your socks off. I promise you. Do you realize that in the presence of God is everything that you need for every aspect of your life? In the presence of God is fullness of joy. We know that. In the presence of God, though, you have every need met. Amen? You walk in health in the presence of God. You don't have to pray for healing. You just walk in the presence of God, and healing comes automatically. Did you know that we didn't earn any of that? I want to read to you this morning, if you will. This is not the main text, but I want to just start out by reading Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." You didn't do anything to earn it. You just accepted the gift that he gave. Amen? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, I don't know about you, but for years in my Christian walk, because of scriptures that I wasn't totally clear on, I thought that I had to do some things, which there's some truth to that. But by doing things doesn't mean that you're working your way to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? What God gave was a free gift. Listen to me now. It was a free gift. Jesus was a free gift. Everything that he stands for, everything that God is, was a free gift to restore us to right fellowship, right relationship with him. Amen? We deserve death. Isn't that right? But now we don't have that death sentence hanging over us anymore. We don't have to be affected by sin and the consciousness of sin hanging over us anymore. That sin consciousness should be gone. We should be righteous conscious now. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is our righteousness. Amen? He's the righteous one, the just one. Hallelujah. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. As the one song says, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God, not of works. You can't work to earn it. You can't work to win God's favor. Are you listening to me? You can't work to earn God's favor. You already have it. The day that you received Jesus into your life, you became a redeemed, blood-bought, born-again child of God. You changed addresses from the world and the degradation of the world into the kingdom of light, joy, prosperity, healing. Hallelujah. And now you have all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you bodily. Amen? Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Listen now. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now listen. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly. He didn't withhold, folks. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, did you hear that? You're not justified by works, you're justified by His grace and by the acceptance of the free gift. How many know the gifts and calling of God are without repentance? They're irrevocable. Amen? He doesn't change His mind when once His gifts and His call are sent. And that's not talking about fivefold ministry only, that's talking about every living, breathing man or woman who is a child of God. Hallelujah. Having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've been translated into the kingdom of darkness. We've been grafted in to the family of God. And now we're not just sons, we're heirs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't withhold anything from us. Amen? Hallelujah. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And for the first part of this, if you will, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read verses 39 through 56, and we'll go on from there. We're not going to read the entire three chapters, 26, 27, and 8, but we're going to pick some things out of these chapters. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you'll stand in honor of the Word, Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 through 56. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Friend, have you come? Why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, Put away your sword. In its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I can now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be, that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, Have you come out against me as a robber, with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We just got done reading in verse 5 of Titus 3, verses 3 through 7, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was beaten prior to his crucifixion, there was bloodshed. That blood shed the deal on our healing. How many know that? With every lash, every disease, every dis-ease, and every sickness, every malady was taken care of at that moment. Part of the free gift. Sealed with his blood even before his crucifixion. The first thing that came out of Jesus' betrayal. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 27, 19 through 52. This is speaking of Pontius Pilate and his wife at the point where Jesus was being judged and had been brought before him. And in verse 19 it says, While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. See, right here, I don't know if you noticed that or not, or you picked up on it, but right here it was declared openly that he was a just man. He was without sin. He was without lawlessness. Amen? I want to remind you again, the reason Jesus could come as a sinless Son of God is because the blood of man never conceived him. He was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. If you understand what I just said, then that's how you know that Jesus was the sinless Son of God. The sinless Lamb that was sent as the sacrifice to redeem us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus was the second and final Adam. Again, the spotless Lamb. Hallelujah. But the chief priests in verse 20 and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Once again, Jesus was declared innocent by the governor. Hallelujah. First the wife, and then the governor, Pontius Pilate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 25, And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. What a horrible thing to say. My God. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Folks, this is why religion and traditions or beliefs steeped in traditions are so dangerous. You come to the place where you believe a lie rather than the truth, where you elevate yourself above God. Very dangerous. Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, This is the King of the Jews. An accusation that was absolutely 100% grade A true. Amen? Hallelujah. The King of the Jews. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? Hallelujah. He's our high priest. Praise God. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. See how the enemy is working still? Do you remember when Jesus was up on the mountain, he came down and the enemy came and tried 3 times to distract him and get him to go against what God said? But because he knew the voice of God and because he wasn't going to follow a stranger's voice, he spoke the word back to Satan. And here again we see the same thing in this scripture. Verse 41. Likewise the priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, he himself he cannot save. He is the king. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe. See, the enemy always tries to twist things. And the enemy will always play on your flesh and your emotions and your feelings, on those appetites that you have. Jesus told him, he didn't get it the first time when he tempted him, turn this stone into bread. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he twisted the scripture again and said, cast yourself down. It's written the angels will bear you up so you won't even stub your toe. And Jesus said what? He said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen? The enemy still here is trying to get him to... See, the devil was so dumb he let the crucifixion happen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but he didn't seem like a very smart leader to me. And the cool part is, those of us who accepted him, we're not even in his kingdom, in his camp anymore. We're a new creation, a new species or being that never before existed. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We've been translated from darkness into light. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 The blood that was shed, sealing it forever. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a good place to shout. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. See, he was playing to what Jesus had already prayed in the garden. If you doubt that Jesus was human, you look at that prayer in the garden, and that was humanity crying out. Hey, you know what? If there's any way to change this plan, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus was able to do it because he didn't have tainted human blood in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Can I give you a little footnote that I just found out last night? I have a friend. Some of you know this if you've been here on Wednesday nights. I have a friend who is from Iraq. And he gave me a little tidbit of information that I didn't know. You know, God set his bow in the sky when he made the promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by water anymore. But do you know that to this very day, according to this gentleman, by the way, who is a believer, and who God marvelously saved, took him out of Iraq when he was facing imminent death, because he crossed Saddam Hussein, actually, the son, it was his oldest son who was in charge of national security. Anyway, he told me last night, listen to this now, folks. Remember the bow in the sky? To this day in Iraq, on Easter, at 3 p.m., darkness comes in. A big windstorm and dust, and it doesn't leave until the ninth hour. To this very day. Oh, honey, don't you try to tell me God's not real. You tie it outside. I know He's real. I know He's real. I've walked with Him. I've seen Him do supernatural things because I'm His child. He's redeemed me. I don't have to be concerned about those things anymore that would have taken me away and would have caused me to be on that cross. The same with you. We've been redeemed once and for all. The only way that that changes is if you give the gift back. Because your Bible says nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing will separate you. Nothing will take you out of His hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. What arrogance. These are the same people who just told Pontius Pilate. Do you know that it was religion that caused them to do that? Traditions? It wasn't truth. It was the elevation of self. Don't you know who I am? Well, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. And thus it goes today. How many know what I'm talking about? And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Listen now. Listen now. The veil of sin that separated us from God. In the next verse says, and behold, verse 51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, again, an affirmation of man. This truly is the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to stop there. That's where I wanted to stop anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Now after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus
who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood sealed it all. It's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy that he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 We don't even understand, in many cases, the power and authority we've been given because of the work that was done. The Bible says that he made a mockery of the devil. Made a mockery of him. The devil played right into God's hands and did exactly what it took. And Jesus, because the only thing he ever did in his life was obey his Father and speak what his Father said, went to the cross, despising the shame. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me now. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. Who has believed our report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment. Who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, and be satisfied by the knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify man, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressions. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something today. The day you accepted the free gift, Jesus came, and the Bible says he died once for all. Right? Amen? He died once for all. Once you accept that free gift, and once you surrender your life and acknowledge that you need him in your life, and you become that newborn babe that never before existed, a new father, the old man has passed away. You understand? Dead. 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 And you've entered into newness of life. A new life has begun. You're no longer a sinner. You were a sinner that is now saved, marvelously saved and transformed by His grace. Hallelujah. It's sealed. It's done. The blood sealed it. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There is no more. It's all been done. Now, when I say that, there's no other, there's no more or less that God could do. But that's not the end of the story. He's still operating in lives today. And it's not because you're so great or you're so bad. God doesn't see those things. What He sees is a life that's transformed, that's with all the intent of the heart, living or striving to live for Him. Redeemed. That man, the old man, is dead. Those things were buried in the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Even though he died, he rose, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Because the Scripture tells us that He is the head and we're the body, that means that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. We're outside of the reach of the enemy. Oh, he comes and he bluffs and he barks and he growls. We all know that. But we have a testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that is, we've never seen... I was young and now I'm old. You were young and now you're old. But you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that dwells now in you as a believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And now He's imparted to us to do the same things. That's not the end of the story. Even greater things in His name. Hallelujah. Hang on, folks. We talked Wednesday night, just for briefly, about what in the world was God thinking when He brought us into this generation. I mean, we're living in the worst time in the world by the outward appearance. But honey, let me tell you something. What we're about to see and be a part of, what God's about to do through his man and his woman, his heirs, is going to blow the doors off this world. You hear what I'm telling you? You hear what I'm telling you? And He's going to come back. He already died and came back triumphant. But He's going to come back triumphant once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we are His hands and His feet and His mouth. Amen? You have the ability. You have the power. You have the authority in His name. He gave it to you, didn't He? To turn this world upside down. Now, when you think about that, things, well, you know, I mean, what am I going to send? Be sent overseas? Doesn't make a difference. You know, there's a mission field right here. Your neighbors. Maybe someone you've never told about the good news. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to live like He's alive. Amen? He said not one dot, not one jot or tittle will pass away until all is fulfilled. And do you know that we're the ones who are going to accomplish and help that happen by obedience to Him? J.W. Setliff, Pastor Stan's dad. For those of you who don't know, maybe I didn't preface this. Pastor Stan is still my pastor and my very, very good friend. And he said, It's better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit. You hear me? You hear me? When somebody comes to you and says, there's something going on, they may not even ask for prayer. Are you quick to stop and let's pray right now? Are you quick to lay hands on them? Or are you intimidated? Timid. But what if? Oh, honey. Don't you be timid. You got power and authority. Jesus told you that in Luke 10:19. He said, look and see, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the dynamite power of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got the armor of God. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. Your loins girt about with truth. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then, most importantly, the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts. I remind you again, that's not a passive weapon. That's an aggressive weapon. You look at that, and what you're going to find is that shield reaches out and grabs the darts before they even hit, extinguishes them, and violently throws them to the ground. Woohoo! Look out now. Look out now. Glory to God. Do what you do in humility. Obey the Father in humility and meekness. I didn't say weakness. Don't you misinterpret that word meekness. You do what you do, knowing the only way you could do it is through Him and because of Him. And with that kind of a heart and attitude, you watch what God can accomplish in you and through you in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have communion. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, that blows me away that to this very day, the storm still comes between 3 and 9 o'clock at night. 3 in the afternoon and 9 o'clock at night. I never knew. I'll be honest with you. Heaven and earth declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you praise, Lord. We worship you. You're worthy, Lamb of God. You're worthy, Lamb of God. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Count it all for joy.
Yes.
Count it all for joy. Father, may all praise, all glory, all honor abound to you this morning. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61 for a moment, please. Jesus, it's recorded in the Gospels, where Jesus went into the temple to preach, and the priest handed him the scroll. Jesus turned to what we know today as the 61st chapter of Isaiah. He knew right where he was going, what he wanted to say. Because he said, I'm anointed. And this is what he was anointed to do. And this is a pretty long list, folks. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. And on, a list of things Jesus was anointed to do, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, They will rebuild the ancient ruins. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. Take the time to sit down and read through this list, because this is what the blood of Jesus purchased for you. This is what the blood of Jesus purchased for the church, His spotless bride. This is what the blood of Jesus empowered you and the church to do. We are the body of Christ. We are His hands, His eyes, His mouth, and His feet. Hallelujah. In a few minutes, we're going to partake of communion. And for our visitors, I would say to you, welcome. All we ask of anyone partaking communion with us is that they be a Christian. We don't care where you've been going to church or anything like this. This is not a local church event. This is a body of Christ event. Hallelujah. Now, before we do that, I want to talk about communion for just a minute. I'm a teacher, so I got to teach. You hand me a microphone, I'm going to teach. That's what's going to happen. You know, that's the way it works. So my first question for you this morning is, why do we partake of communion? We know communion of being one of the two ordinances of the church. It's generally held that baptism and Holy Communion are two ordinances or rituals of the church. So with that kind of thing, then we many times view them as a tradition. It's something we do, but we don't know why we do it, except that we do it because we do it. So I want to try and shed a little bit of light into this ritual before we go on with it. So why do we partake of communion? Well, we partake of communion for the best reason there is, because Jesus commanded it.
Yes.
You know, He said in 1 Corinthians 11:25, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That's why we do it, because Jesus said so. He commanded us to go out and heal the sick, to preach the gospel. We do that. Then we take of communion because He told us to. Now, why would Jesus command this? I mean, Jesus had a reason and a purpose behind everything that He did. He had a plan. God had a plan. Why would Jesus command this of it? Well, there's several reasons. For one, because the Lord desires fellowship, intimate fellowship with us. That's one of the reasons He created us for, was to fellowship with Him. God wanted a family, so He created us, praise God. You know, the word communion comes from the Greek word koinonia, and I don't pretend to be able to pronounce it correctly, okay? But it's this Greek word, but it means a having in common, a partnership or a fellowship. God created us for fellowship, and communion is fellowship with Him. Another reason He commanded it is because in partaking of communion, we're standing in remembrance of Him. He said to take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we partake of communion because He desires fellowship, because we are standing in remembrance of Him, and for the third reason, because when we take communion, we're proclaiming His death until He comes again. Now, why proclaim His death? You know, this time of year, we concentrate, of course, on the resurrection a lot. This is the resurrection day. But why proclaim His death? Well, Paul answers that question in 1 Corinthians 15:14. He says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is also in vain. So if there is no death, there can be no resurrection. Jesus died. And if you don't let Him die, if you don't realize that He died, He didn't just go away for a couple of days, He died. If you don't realize and accept that He died, then He can't be resurrected for you, and your faith is in vain. So that's why we must proclaim His death. Glory to God. You know, it's intriguing to me that the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of insight into how we are to prepare or partake of communion. any more than it does of baptism. It's really, you know, it's commanded, but it's really kind of vague, and that kind of intrigued me until I realized this, that when Jesus ordained communion, he did it at the end of the Passover feast. So much of what occurred during the Passover feast, of course, then was rooted in the Jewish tradition and customs of the time. So what Jesus did when he instituted communion, he just kind of tagged something new onto the end of the old. When he passed the cup, it was actually what is known as the third cup of blessing. Only when that cup was past that time, there was a little change thrown in there. Hallelujah. So that, I didn't figure that out until about 2 days ago. I truly didn't. Even though communion is described and prescribed in three Gospels and in the epistles of Paul, the command from Jesus was still just this, simply, do this in remembrance of me. Now, you know, there's no specific way described to prepare for communion. We've established that. But there is a way that is prescribed to prepare for communion. Now, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 11:27. And in case I didn't quite get that across right, there's not a prescribed way to prepare the communion, but there is a prescribed way to prepare for communion. Now, in just a couple minutes, I'm going to prepare a pray in preparation for me, and I hope you will join me in doing this. But let's take a look at what Paul is saying here. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, you know, there seems to be three schools of theology on this passage. There's one school that says that you partake of communion unworthily if you are holding something against a brother or sister in Christ. If perhaps you feel you've been wrong, you haven't forgiven that individual, or if you have some unrepentant sin in your life. That's one school of thought about that. You know, sin is sin, but unrepentant sin. You know, Judas, after he betrayed Christ, he went out and hung himself. The word says that he was remorseful, but it never says that he repented.
Right.
He hung himself. He was unrepentant. He hung himself. Peter, on the other hand, sinned. He disavowed Christ, but he repented.
Right.
He became a preacher, and after his first sermon, 3,000 people were born again.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There is the power of forgiveness right there. So if you are holding anything in your heart, you know, we all spend most of our time out there, and it is so easy to step over into offense.
Yes.
So we're going to take care of that in just a minute. There's another school of theology that says that if you don't have a clear revelation that the bread and the cup represent the body of Christ and point out his suffering and sacrifice on the cross, then you're partaking in an unworthy manner. That's the second school of theology. And then there's the school of what I call the school of safety that just combines the two, and that way we make sure all the bases are covered. So if you would just pray for me for a moment. I'm going to pray for myself, and I hope that you will just share this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you right now, Lord, with an open and repentant heart. Lord, anything I may have done that was displeasing in your sight, that I did without a clear conviction of it being your will in my life, I repent of it, Lord, and I ask your forgiveness for it. Reveal it to me, Lord. Cleanse me of it. And I thank you for that, Lord. If I hold anything against another human being, any anything that may be in my heart that's not pleasing to you, I just give it up, Lord. Sometimes those things are difficult to do. And for those things that are difficult, then as an act of my will, I would give them up. Because I don't want to carry them around, and I don't want to partake of the blood and the body of Christ in an unworthy manner. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Now, you know, a lot of churches, in fact, I went to communion one time down to the First Church of Unbelief, and they conducted their communion service more like a funeral than they did a festival. You know, and this is a time counted all for joy. This is a time to glorify and to praise God. This is a time to tell the world of what He has done. This is a time to sing out in joy and in praise. It's not a time of mourning. The funeral was several years ago. They mourned and cried then. This is Resurrection Day, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to count it all for joy. In reverence and respect, certainly, but in joy, knowing what the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what His blood bought for us. You know, count it for joy because of the blood of Jesus. You are a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing, Bible-talking, laying on of hands, casting out of devils, Son of the living God. Amen. Glory. Count it for joy that He's risen. Count it for joy that Jesus is Lord. Count it for joy that the wages of sin are death, but Jesus paid the bill.
Yes.
His blood bought our redemption and our salvation. Hallelujah. Count it for joy that His enemies were made His footstool. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and His enemies were made His footstool. We're His church. We're His body. We're His feet. His enemies are our footstool by the power of His blood. Glory to God. Count it all for joy that all authority in heaven and earth have been given to us. Jesus said before He ascended, He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, you go. You take it. Now you go. Now I'll tell you what. If your boss called you one day and he said, you've been with me for 3.5 years. I'm retiring. As of right now, my position is yours. My salary is yours. My benefits are yours. My power and authority are yours. And you can redecorate the office any way you want. You'd count it all for joy. Right? All authority, all power on earth has been granted unto us. Count it all for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gentlemen, would you bring forth the elements, please? Glory, glory, glory. What a wonderful and beautiful day this is. It could be pouring rain. It could be 10 below. It would still be a wonderful and beautiful day because of the risen Lord. He is risen. Jesus lives. Hallelujah. Harry, would you please come and pray over the elements? That would honor me greatly.
Father, thank you. Jesus, we've made something so beautiful out of something so horrible. You had your body broken, smashed, beyond anything that we could understand. You were beaten beyond recognition. To us, this is something that we could not understand at one time. But today, we all agree, without your blood-bought, beaten body, we would not be standing here. None of us are worthy of what you've done. But now, because we've received your body as a piece of bread, we are gathered together in a love that is beyond anything we could understand. Jesus, thank you for what you did. You took our place on the cross. We should have been there, but you did it for us. Glory to God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Harry. Count it all for joy. Gentlemen, if you would serve the people, please. If you all would kindly hold on to the elements until all have been served and we'll partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Count it all for joy. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake together in remembrance of him. And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's partake together, proclaiming the Lord's death. Hallelujah. This is Resurrection Day. This is a time of new beginnings. It's a time of rebirth. I want to open the altar up for anyone who needs prayer. I invite you, if you need prayer, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heartstrings, the altar is open. Please come. Let us lay hands on you and minister to you. And if Patrick would turn the music up just a little bit, please. I'll just wait for just a minute. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for every person in this room this morning, Lord, for your sheep, for your faithful followers, Lord. And now I ask you in the name of Jesus to bless them this coming year. Bless them with a new oil of joy, with a new gladness. Bless them, Lord, with a new prosperity, a new abundance, and a new heart and a desire for you, Lord. Let every one of us, including myself, pursue you, Lord. Pursue you like we never have before, with a new zeal, a new heart, and a new desire. Glory, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You did it for us, Lord. You did it for me. You did it for these people, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Because of the work that he did, because of your acceptance of that work, his name is now written on your forehead, and your name is written in the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, he's worthy of praise. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We extol you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We sense and feel your presence, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory here in this place because we're abiding in your presence, Lord, because your presence is abiding with us, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you that every need is met. Every answer that was needed is now there, Lord. We thank you for directing and guiding our steps and for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, for taking us out of the muck and mire and redeeming us, marvelously redeeming us, translating us, Lord, and dealing with the sin issue once and for all, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your countenance would shine upon these people, Lord. That your face would shine on them, Lord. That your knowledge would fill everyone in this place, Lord.
the joy of the Lord would be their strength, and that they would look to you in every area and every need that they have in their life. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your obedience, Lord, and for teaching us how to be obedient, Lord. Teaching us how to be and walk in your image and likeness by only listening to what the Father says, only doing what the Father says, and only speaking what the Father says. Now, Lord, we pray for the fellowship. We thank you, Lord. We sanctify the food by your word and this prayer in Jesus' name. And we receive it with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. For those of you who don't know, our guests today, you're welcome to stay. We have a little fellowship afterwards. We just have a few snacks. Gives us a chance to get to know one another. And we want you to know, in this church, or in this fellowship, I don't like the word church. The church is the entire body. In this fellowship, you're a guest here once. After that, you're family. We don't have any roles to sign. There's no pressure put on you. If you walk through that door, you're a member of the body and family of God, and we receive you as that. You're part of our family. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be blessed.